It was a warm summer afternoon, and Assunta Pupetta Maresca was tapping her manicured jet-black fingernails on a white marble tabletop that was stained with what looked like red wine or blood. We were sitting in the kitchen of her fluorescent-lit apartment in a coastal town of questionable character south of Naples, where she was born into a crime family in 1935, and where she died December 29, 2021. The heavy wooden shutters were closed to keep out the heat, and a ceiling lamp swayed in the breeze created by a flimsy plastic fan perched on the counter. It was months before the COVID pandemic changed the world, and Pupetta's biggest health fear was suffering a stroke, despite doing nothing to prevent it. A pack of menthol cigarettes in a gilded case sat neatly next to an ornate ashtray and matching lighter in the center of the table. A bedazzled vape pen on what looked like a rosary hung on her chest like a necklace. She puffed on it between cigarettes and blew smoke directly into my face. More than once, she told me she shouldn't smoke. "These will kill me," she said between puffs. "I should stop." The crepey skin on the backs of her small hands was too smooth for a woman in her 80s and looked as if it had been surgically stretched around her swollen joints. Her age spots had been bleached and looked like fading bruises, as if someone had clutched her hand too hard. She briefly put her cigarette in the ashtray and picked up a strand of her crimson-dyed hair that had fallen onto the table and stretched it between her fingers, lifting her pinkies ever so slightly before brushing it off to the tile floor for her maid to eventually sweep up. It was impossible to look at Pupetta's hands without imagining them wrapped around the silver Smith & Wesson 38 pistol she once fired in the defining moment of her life. More than 60 years before I sat with her, she used that gun to take down the man who ordered the fatal hit on her husband. Surely her husband's rival was dead after her first blast knocked him to the ground. But she still grabbed her 13-year-old brother Ciro's revolver and sent another round of bullets, 29 in all, in the direction of the bleeding corpse. The killing took place outside a busy coffee bar in Naples in broad daylight. She was 18 years old and 6 months pregnant at the time. Pupetta claimed she still kept the pistol in the nightstand next to her bed. I once asked her if I could see it, but she insisted that she would only take it out to use it. I never asked again. Of the many things I grew to admire most about the woman nicknamed Lady Camorra was her dry sense of humor. She was a cunning liar and a cold-blooded killer, but if you could look beyond that, she was genuinely delightful. The first time I sat in Pupetta's kitchen, after stalking her at her usual coffee bar and vegetable market until she agreed to grant an interview without charging me for it, she offered me a bitter espresso served in a chipped demitasse cup, clearly saving the fine china for better company. I stared into the dark, steaming liquid, hesitant to take a sip out of concern that she could have slipped something into it. In a brief bout of egotism, I envisioned that perhaps I could be a last hurrah killing. No one even knew where I was, and for someone with her connections to the underworld, it would be reasonably easy to get rid of my body. Covering crime and murder and death, essentially trafficking and tragedy for the many years I've been in Italy, has jaded my perception of my own mortality. Over the years, I have evolved from thinking that nothing bad will ever happen to me to expecting it. I see the worst first, as I'm often reminded by friends and family. I am generally a voice of doom. In my defense, the paranoia was bolstered by the fact that Pupetta was not drinking any of the espresso herself. "Too much caffeine in the afternoon made her nervous," she answered when I asked if she was joining me. I drank it in one gulp, as is the custom in Italy. She watched me closely, enjoying my fear, or at least that's how I choose to remember it. Every time I saw her after that, she also drank coffee with me, no matter what time of day. As we spoke that first afternoon, a radio station played Neapolitan folk songs peppered with advertisements for private home security services. When the news bulletin came on, she touched her ear to signal me to be quiet so she could listen to see if anyone she knew had been caught up in something unseemly. Pupetta was wearing a dark purple tank top that pushed her enormous soft breasts together to create wrinkly, freckled cleavage over which the vape pen perilously dangled, at times threatening to fall inside. She was sitting on a squeaky wooden chair on a faded tulle and pink floral pillow that made her seem much taller than she was.